Now, I wonder, has anybody noticed our nativity scene up the front here that's been here for the last couple of weeks is missing a couple of key figures? See, we have Jesus who is in the front and center, as he should be. We have Mary and Joseph of there. They're there, of course. We even have some animals. But who's missing from our nativity scene? There's actually two groups that are missing. We don't have any shepherds, unfortunately. But that's not the ones who I'm saying I'm thinking who are missing. We're actually missing the wise men. In fact, you can see them on the ground down here. You may have actually almost tripped over them. Why is it that these wise men are down here on the ground and not in the nativity scene? Well, to answer this question, we need to turn to our New Testament reading we just had read for us from Matthew chapter 2. See, at the beginning of this reading, we see after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." These magi are down here on the ground and not in the nativity scene because they did not arrive until after Jesus' birth. Because they saw his star rise at his birth. They did not see him while he was in a manger. They actually arrived some time before his second birthday, which we'll find out next week. And upon their arrival in Israel, they travelled to the capital, Jerusalem, where one would expect to find a king. And being foreigners, without Google Maps to help them with directions, they do the wise thing because they're wise men. And they start asking for direction. Pay attention, men. Ask for direction. You can just start to imagine it, can't you? Here's these wise men, these magi, saying to people of Israel, excuse me, I'm just wondering, can someone give me some directions here? I'm looking for the new king who has been born. You know, the king of the Jews? Have you seen him? Can you point me to where this king is? Now, assuming after getting a couple of blank looks from the Israelites, or responses like, sorry, we don't have a new king. You sure it's Israel that this new king has been born? Have you tried Egypt? I hear they've got a new king. These wise men, these magi, they need to change the direction of their questions. And they now ask for directions to the palace, for surely the palace would know about the king of the Jews being born. Well, sure enough, news had reached the palace, and it had reached the current king, King Herod. And when that news reached him, he was disturbed about this new king being born in Israel. And Jerusalem was also disturbed. Now that seems a little bit odd, doesn't it? That King Herod and Jerusalem are disturbed at the birth of the Messiah. After all, Herod is a Jew. And aren't the Jews looking forward to the promised Messiah? Well, yes, Herod is a Jew by religion, but he's not a Jew by birth. He is actually an Edomite, who had been appointed as a client king of the Roman Empire, a puppet king to rule over Israel on behalf of the Roman Empire. And the announcement of the birth of a king from the line of David, well, that threatens his rule, doesn't it? Especially when you get these foreign officials turning up on your doorstep wanting to worship this new king. You can just imagine what Herod's thinking now, can't you? Is this king about to make a move on my throne? It's mine. No, you can't have it. See, time and time again throughout history, we have witnesses. When a claim on the throne is made, it always ends up being messy, doesn't it? It normally ends up in war. The War of the Roses is a classic example of this. Years of warfare over the claim to the throne. And if you have a tiny bit of insight into the person who King Herod was, you actually see that he's a very unhinged king. But again, we'll see more on this next week. Well, just like in the movies, when the president calls in the top specialist in the field of whatever area is threatened to end civilization as we know it, King Herod arranges for all the top religious leaders to come and tell him where this Messiah is to be born. And the officials, they quickly come in and tell the king he's to be born in Bethlehem in Judea. For this is what the prophet has written: "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Now, armed with the knowledge of the place of the Messiah's birth, King Herod just needs to find out the time when this king was to be born. If only he happened to have a couple of wise men hanging around who may have seen a star rise at that time. Well, hang on a minute, it's Herod's lucky day. All his Christmases have come at once. For he has a few wise men who know exactly when the Messiah was born. So King Herod, wanting to keep this legitimate king's birth quiet, he secretly arranges a meeting with these wise men. And he sends them off on their mission of finding the Messiah, with the false understanding that he too would like to come and worship this king. But once again, we'll find out more on this next week about his true motives that he has for finding this king. So our Magi, they jump back on their Camel Express and they head out of Jerusalem to the little town of Bethlehem to find the Messiah. And as they glance up from their camel leaving Jerusalem, what do they see? They see their trusty star again, which has led them this far. It's going ahead of them once more, and they are overjoyed. It's kind of like when you're following your GPS and you go into a tunnel and your GPS stops working. And you pop out of the tunnel on the other end, and then all of a sudden your GPS finds directions again. This is how overjoyed they are. Well, they're more overjoyed than that. But you have your directions again, and they are now traveling to Bethlehem. And as they get closer and closer, this sense of excitement is building minute by minute. They have traveled a long way. They have found the place where the Messiah is to be born. And now the star has stopped above the place where the child was. It's kind of like when you're a child and you've been lining up all day to see your favorite celebrity. The anticipation has been growing and growing all day. You've pushed your way right to the front of the crowd, and the doors are about to open. They're about to walk out. The Magi, they approach the house, and they are greeted by the sight which they've been longing for. They see Jesus with his mother Mary, and they bow down and worship the Messiah. They present him with gifts fitting for a king, which fulfills our Old Testament reading that we had from Psalm 72. May the kings of Tarshish and a distant shore bring tributes to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. This is exactly what the Magi do. They bow down before Jesus, the king, and they give him gifts worthy of a king. Now, Christians throughout history have pointed to these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh as being symbolic. See, the gold symbolizes Jesus' kingship. The frankincense symbolizes Jesus' priestly role. And the myrrh, that symbolizes Jesus' death. Now, whilst these symbols can be helpful, the gifts that are actually given are royal gifts. They were given to royal people in ancient times. They were given to deities and kings in the ancient world. For gold was a precious metal. Frankincense was an expensive perfume. And myrrh was used as an anointing oil. And two of the gifts, being gold and frankincense, were actually prophesied about of being given to the Messiah in Isaiah 60. And from all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, proclaiming the praises of the Lord. See, the story of the Magi is not so much about what gifts they actually brought, but it's the fact that they actually traveled to worship God's true King, the King of the Jews, the Messiah. See, the Jewish leaders, they knew of this promised Messiah. When Herod asked them where the Messiah was to be born, they didn't need to go look it up or anything like that. They knew where the Messiah was to be born. They knew that he was to be born in Bethlehem. They knew from which tribe, from which royal tribe, the king was to be born from. But yet, the very first people who Matthew records as worshipping Jesus as the Messiah, they're not Jewish leaders. They're not even Jews at all. They are foreigners coming to seek the Messiah. If you remember back to last Sunday, where we saw the name which Joseph was to give Jesus. Can anybody remember the name? It's Emmanuel, which means God with us. See, the Magi have the correct response here of meeting God face to face. They fall down and they prostrate themselves on the ground before a baby, and they present him with kingly gifts. This is the very thing that the Jews should have done. The Magi even know they didn't have all the knowledge that the Jews had. They have the correct response to meeting God. The response that people had in the Old Testament when God would appear to them. For in Numbers 20 we read, Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Or what about Genesis 17? When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless, and I'll make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your number. And what's Abram do? At 99 years old, he falls face down on the ground. Please don't try that right now. See, this is the correct response of humbling oneself before God. The Magi truly understood who Jesus was. He was born King of the Jews. So this Christmas, as we remember the birth of the King of the Jews and the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. Who will we be like? Will we be like the Israelites? Or will we be like King Herod, who at the news of Jesus' birth, they were disturbed? Or will we be like the Magi, who at the news of Jesus' birth travelled from afar to come and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And upon seeing him, they were in awe and bowed down and worshipped the baby Jesus, King at his birth. Well, it's my prayer for all of us this Christmas that we truly would be wise men. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks that you sent Jesus into the world to not only be the King of the Jews, but also the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We also thank you that Jesus is the Saviour of the world. And Lord, we pray that we would be like the Magi and have the correct response to meeting Jesus, and that we would bow down and praise Jesus for who he is, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. We're now going to stand and actually sing an appropriate song about crowning him, that is, crowning Jesus with the many crowns that he actually has. So please stand.